this time, children's church is dismissed for kids kindergarten through fourth grade. The rest of you, if you have a Bible, I encourage you to pull it out this morning. You're going to need it. If you don't have one, there should be one in the pew there. I encourage you to use one of those. If you don't have a Bible, those are always available. If you have it on your phone or your tablet you brought with you, I encourage you to pull that out today. We're going to talk about our Father today. But before we do that, you have an exam coming up next week. How many of you are ready for your exam? Three of you. Okay, good. Four of you. Okay, good. So stand with me. We are working on a verse, one simple verse. It'll be on the screen. Next week, it won't be there. You will know it. And so we are working on Philippians 3, verse 13. So say this with me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Say, help me there. Reach forward. Reach forward. You may be seated. We are memorizing that verse to remind us that we have an opportunity to do something in our lives practically this year to help us grow in our walk with Christ. Do something more than what you have been doing, or do something that will help expand your relationship with Him. And one of the things that we can do is we can pray. And so this morning I want to start a new series that I'm calling The Father Says to Pray. And I want us to get real practical talking about what the Bible tells us about prayer. Prayer is an incredibly powerful tool. And if you and I would stop and think about what prayer is, it's having a conversation with the Creator of the universe, with God Almighty. This morning we've had an opportunity to sing. If you've noticed a little theme going on, we've been singing about the name of God or the names of God. We're going to talk about that this morning because what Jesus teaches us about prayer in the specific verses we're going to look at this morning requires that we understand that there are various names of God. It's very cool that we can go to God anytime we want. Some of you have been to the doctor recently, and if you've been like me, they send you 8,000 emails and texts reminding you of your appointment. And they tell you to get there at least 15 minutes early so that you're ready. And then you get there, and you sit, and you wait. Sometimes you wait for a long time because the doctor is busy. And most of us will sit and wait because we want to see the doctor. And it took a couple of weeks to get an appointment, or maybe even a couple of months. And so we'll sit there and we'll wait. God is more important than all of our doctors put together times a billion. We never have to wait. You can talk to Him at 2 in the afternoon. You can talk to Him at 2 in the morning. You can talk to Him when you're struggling. You can talk to Him when everything's going great. You never have to wait. And the cool thing is, He is always there. He's always listening. Jesus is literally sitting, the Bible says, at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding. He's talking to God about you all day long. So when you and I have the opportunity to pray, it's important that we do it the way that we have been taught to in the Bible. And there's prayers from beginning to end, and we're going to look at some of those. But we're going to base everything in this series on what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So if you haven't already found it, if you would find Matthew chapter 6. I know some of you have grown up saying these words and you've memorized them and they're just second nature to you. Sometimes we say them together here. But I want you to not take that for granted this morning. I want you to think with me about these verses. So look at what God's Word says in your copy of God's Word or on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, Jesus said, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Those are powerful words. They are not a good luck charm. They do not bring you luck. The word luck is not in the Bible. It's not there. Those words are instruction to us that Jesus gives us. If you were here last week, Luke Johnson, who was our Disciple Now preacher, talked about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a section of Scripture that we have given a name to, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's a sermon that Jesus gave. And if you go back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, you see that the context is that Jesus goes up on a mountain, he sits down, and his disciples came to him, and he begins to teach them. And that's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a part of that. Now, this is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Luke reminded us last week it really should be called the disciples' prayer, but it is Jesus teaching us to pray. Whatever you want to call it, that doesn't matter. What's important is that it is instruction for us to learn how to pray. And the Son of God is teaching his disciples how to pray, and we have the benefit of learning from that as well, which is really cool. So I want to give you a little more of the context here, because we're going to camp here and take our time going through this over a couple of weeks. But in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus is telling his disciples, and those who gather, a multitude gathers around, but he says to them, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men in order to be seen by them." In other words, he's not saying don't be righteous, don't live a good life according to the word of God. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying do that, but don't do it for the sole purpose of being noticed by men. Because we're all going to fail. We're all going to sin. We're all going to not succeed in that. But at the same time, what is your motive for living rightly before God and letting men see you? It's not to be noticed. It's so that God sees us. God knows our heart. In verses 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 6, Jesus gives instructions to his disciples about giving alms or giving their tithes and their offerings. I have people tell me all the time that nowhere in the New Testament does it talk about the fact that we should give tithes and offerings. It does. Jesus says, when you're giving your alms, when you're giving your required gifts, when you're giving your offerings, those that you desire to give. And remember, they were still under the law in this day. But he says, when you give, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Now, that's a phrase, an understanding in their day that just means do it so that it's automatic. Your right hand doesn't have to know what your left hand is doing because it just happens. It's something that's a normal part of life. It's not something that is unusual. It should just happen. But again, the same idea here, don't give so that people can see. Don't give so that the purpose of your giving is for somebody to recognize you or acknowledge you. That's not the purpose of worshiping through giving. And then in verse 5, Jesus gives instructions about prayer. And the idea here is that believers, those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will pray. That can be convicting if we're not. He says in verse 5, when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray. If you get in trouble and you really need to pray, this is how you do it. He says, when you pray. The idea is that believers are already praying. But he again says, in the same context, don't do it with wrong motives. The purpose of prayer is not for other people to notice the fact that you're praying. He even says you don't need to use big words. You don't need to use meaningless repetition. You don't have to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Doesn't mean you can't pray about the same thing over and over again. We see later on, we'll look at this later, that Jesus gives a story about a widow who went to the judge and she just kept hounding him. And he finally relented. And Jesus said it's okay to pray about the same thing over and over again, to come to him and ask. But don't do it to be noticed by man. The idea is that prayer is about you having a conversation with God. And so now we come to verse 9. Look at verse 9 with me again. Jesus tells his disciples, pray then in this way. Pray, the word pray here, just one simple word, literally means have a conversation with, speak to, or make request of God. Not of other people, not of something that doesn't exist, but pray literally means have a conversation with God. That's what that word means. So he is telling them, when you pray, pray then in this way. In other words, I'm going to teach you how to pray. So this prayer really is, well, we can call it the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer, whatever you want to call it. It really is a model for us to use. It's not, again, about the words. It's not about being seen or being heard by man. It is about talking to God. And so look at what he says in verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think about that. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He gives them specific instructions here about how to pray, and he references the very first thing he says to them is address him as our Father. Our Father is a title. It literally combines, in the original language, it combines the supernatural authority and the care for God's people. Those two things. Our Father. When we say our Father, we're literally saying our Father. Some of us in our lives have had great fathers. And they, while they may have been the authority in our house, they also showed great care. Some of you have not had the best example of a father. Some of us have not been the best example of a father. Some of us have been a good example of a father. But we are talking about God, our Heavenly Father, who is the perfect example of spiritual, supernatural authority and also care for his people. The word our Father, that idea is a title. It's who he is. We're addressing him. He's earned that title. It is who he is. It doesn't change whether I believe him to be my good, caring, supernatural authority father. He is already that. He is our Father. And Jesus says that we should address him in that way. And it doesn't say that you can only address him as our Father because of what he's going to say to us next, but it's important that we give him reverence and that we address him in the way that we know him to be, that the Bible teaches us, that Jesus is teaching his disciples. He is your heavenly Father. In other words, don't come to him in some irreverent way, but come to him as who he is. Believe that he is who he says he is, even if you've got big questions to ask him. You still should address him a certain way. If you go to court, the judge is usually, if you're standing before a judge in a courtroom, they want you to dress a certain way. You come in shorts and a t-shirt, they're probably throwing you out. They're not going to let you stand before the judge in that way, most likely, because there's a respect there. You're supposed to come in a proper attitude. You may not agree with the judge, or you may agree with everything the judge says, but you are to come in a certain way and respect the office. Some of us, when you go to, I mentioned a doctor earlier, used to be you would go in and you would wear some of your best clothes to go see the doctor when we were younger. You didn't go in unless you were really, really sick, wearing shorts and a t-shirt, even as a kid. You went in wearing nicer clothes because of the respect you had for the doctor that your parents said that they had for the doctor. There are certain things that we show respect to somebody who has earned that respect, whether you agree with them or not. You still need to address them with respect, and that's the idea here. Our Father, the one who has supernatural authority but also cares deeply for his people. Look at what else he says. Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus again acknowledges not only who God is, but he recognizes where he is. He's in this supernatural place, the dwelling place of God and the angels and anybody else who God has there, those who have died before us that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Heaven is where we want to be. The Bible describes heaven as this amazing place that human words don't really give it justice. But it is a place where God is, and so we acknowledge that He's there. Our Father who art in heaven, You're in the place that I want to be. You are on Your throne, Father. You are the one who takes care of me in ways that I could never even think of. Then look at what else He says about the same idea. He says, hallowed be. Hallowed be means to honor as holy or reverent. Again, it's not a name that we just throw out there. We've talked about this in previous weeks, but many parents name their children specific names. Sometimes it's because they like the name. Sometimes it's because it has a family significance. Sometimes it's because of the meaning of the names that you give your child first and middle name. Obviously, they get your last name, but you put some effort into that. And again, in prayer, we should put some effort into who we are talking to. We should honor Him and see Him as holy and reverent. If you think about the Ten Commandments, the third commandment, God said what? Don't use the name of the Lord in what? In vain. That's the third commandment. That's how important it is. The other two about not having other gods, little g, plural s, before me. Don't make an idol. And then He says, you shall not use the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, it's not something to be used irreverently. And we'll see in a moment there are lots of names of God given to us in Scripture. Hallowed be thy name. In other words, God is an individual person. He's not just some out there cosmic being that we can't have a relationship with. He is a specific person. The Bible teaches us that. So hallowed be, reverent the God who is in heaven. One of the commentators I was reading this week, Louis Barbieri Jr., said this. He said, worship is the essence of all prayer. As we've been talking about Philippians 3:13 and reaching forward, the idea is that you and I will reach forward in our walk with Christ this year, do something that we haven't done. And maybe one of the areas that you haven't really explored or haven't grown in is prayer and spending time with God in prayer on a regular basis. Do you have a prayer list that you use? Do you just spend time with God? Do you talk to Him? Do you also let Him talk to you, or do you just dominate the conversation? Do you just come to Him in an attitude of, God, you need to do this for me so that I can do what I need to do? Or do you stop and do you acknowledge who He is? Do you take the time to do that? Do you say the same thing over and over? How do you start your prayer? Is it the same all the time? Do you even know what you say? Do you even think about it? Our Father who art in heaven? Or, hey, God? Or how do you start your prayer? Is it addressing God as Father and hallowing His name? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So let's look at some names. The Bible is full of names of God, and I'm going to run through a bunch of these, and then we'll finish with something very simple yet very practical that hopefully you can use. So I'm going to give you some verses. You're not going to have time to turn to all these, but they'll be on the screen. Isaiah 63 verse 16. Listen to this. For thou art our father through Abraham, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize us. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, from of old is thy name. What name does Isaiah use for God there? Okay, redeemer and father. Uses two different names there. That's part of who God is. He's our father, He's our redeemer. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15, when Moses was being called by God to rescue, to be the leader, God was going to rescue, to be the leader of the nation of Israel, to get him out of captivity, God has an interaction with him. Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. God declares himself as I am there, or Yahweh. And the Jews didn't even say Yahweh because they had great respect. They didn't even spell it all the way out if they were writing it. They would just use the consonants out of respect for his name and who he is. So he is Yahweh. He is God. Look at Luke chapter 1. And when Mary is told that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, listen to Luke chapter 1, verse 47. Mary then prays and she says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." What name does she tell us is the name of God? Savior. Look down in verse 49. Continuing in her prayer, she says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." What names does she use for God there? Mighty One and Holy. Okay. One more example. This is one of my favorite. And I continue to think about this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. The Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. The Rock. If you've ever been to Israel, there's a bazillion rocks. They're everywhere. But he's the Rock. And all that that means. So I want to do something practical with you. Some of you have been with us when we do this. But you can do this in your prayer time with the Lord. You're not going to have a big board. Or you can have a big board. Doesn't matter. You can have a piece of paper. And you can list the names of God. That's what we're going to do. So I want you just to holler out a name of God. Do what? Jehovah. Thank you. Somebody else? The Lamb. Somebody else? Redeemer. Almighty. Emmanuel. Holy. Father. Good. King of Kings. Yahweh. Savior. I am. What else do we say? Rock. What else? Healer. I heard another one too, somebody said. I'm sorry? Prince of Peace, thank you. You get it? You keep going. The Bible's full of names of God. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. But it's not enough just to mention those, then stop and think about them. What does it mean that he's Jehovah? What does it mean that he's the Lamb? What does it mean that he's your redeemer? And take time just to thank God for the fact that he is those things. Now, you may not, your whole being, your heart may not be completely convinced of these names. But that doesn't change the fact that he is. So pick a name this morning. Pick a name. One we mentioned or one that you have on your heart that's from Scripture. And let's pray that name. Father, we thank you that you are these names and so many more. So many more. Your word gives us who you are. So, Father, help us to include this in our prayer time. I'm guilty of coming to you and asking you to do stuff for me and not really taking the time to just stop and literally focus on who you are or who the Bible says that you are so that my heart becomes convinced that that's who you are in my life and in the world. We thank you that you are all of these names and so many more. Help us to come to you in the right way. And help us to pray. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.